Psalm 127. Just a minute, we're going to be reading verses 3 through 5 to begin our thoughts tonight in our lesson. Let me say two or three things before we get into our lesson. I have thoroughly enjoyed worshiping with you this week, meeting with you, getting to know some of you a little better. I appreciate, and Melinda and Ava, we appreciate the hospitality that has been shown. I appreciate the kind comments that have been made. I was thinking, as Barry was making announcements, he didn't say this, but I was thinking, if we can just take one more lesson, we'll have this made. I don't feel like that's the way anybody feels. I was telling Diane, tonight's the end, and I try to pace myself, so I believe if the Lord helps me, I have one lesson left in me for this week. And if we went through Friday night, it'd be different. The weeks and the days pass so quickly, but what a privilege and honor it is to be able to gather with other Christians to worship. And I pray, as we have done so each evening, and as we do so tonight, that our focus is on God, that He is the one who is glorified. He is the one who deserves and should receive the praise. In any way that I can be used in helping with that, I am appreciative to have the opportunity to do that. In Psalm 127, beginning with verse 3, the Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." I want to just begin tonight's lesson, and I appreciate, as I have each service, the songs that have been chosen. But what I want to emphasize as we begin tonight is the fact that children are a heritage of the Lord. Those of us who have children, we have been blessed tremendously. And we have a tremendous responsibility as parents to train and discipline and rear our children so that one day they can have faith in God and they can serve God. And we pray that they will faithfully serve God all the days of their life. I didn't say Sunday morning when we began our lesson, "Train up your child." You know, it would be nice if we had 20 years experience in doing this. And then after we had 20 years experience, we could take our children and we could raise them. That's not the way it works. We go into this, it's really uncharted water. Not that we have to be ignorant, and we don't want to be ignorant. God gives us instructions. But we have one chance. And literally, it is a life or death opportunity with which we're dealing. We're dealing with the souls of our children. And there is nothing more precious than that. And for children to grow up to serve God, what a delight. What a blessing. Not only to the family, to parents, but to all whom they may come in contact with. The Bible has a lot to say about raising children. And what I want to emphasize tonight is talking about the importance of discipline in the home. It's ironic that this past week and a half, I don't keep up as much as I used to, but I hear the news every once in a while, and I've listened to a few talk shows as I've been on the road, and Adrian Peterson, if you know anything about the NFL, he's a running back, probably considered the best running back right now, and he's been charged or arrested, indicted for child abuse. And when I think about discipline, and I'm not trying to make any kind of judgment on that situation, but that's just been in the news lately. And when I think about discipline, usually there is one of two extremes. One extreme is people don't believe that a child should be spanked. Or if they do, they don't practice it. The other extreme is that parents use a spanking, but really it becomes more than a spanking. They use this opportunity to vent their frustrations out on their children, and it becomes abuse. And I believe both of those extremes miss the teachings of God's Word. And what we want to do tonight is to spend some time just raising some questions. Are we to spank our children? Why are we to spank our children? What are the results, the desired results that we're interested in? And so I want to mention about four different things tonight. We're going to be talking about discipline, the building of character. In the first place, I want to begin, and I think this is where we must begin, with anything we're talking about, and that is, here is something that is commanded by God. I'm not the one who decides how a child should be disciplined. I realize in each situation we have to make some judgments, but it's not up to me to say a child should be disciplined or a child should not be disciplined. We have to take God's Word and consider what God's Word says. It is commanded by God. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23, and I might just say, we'll be going to some other passages, but if you want to just kind of keep a ribbon there in the book of Proverbs, we'll be coming back to it. But in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13, the Bible says this, withhold not correction from thy child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. And so here the instructions are, we are to discipline our children. We are not to withhold discipline from our children. And even though they may cry and it may hurt us in some ways, and you know, I've always heard it hurts the parent more than it hurts the child. Well, I'm going to tell you, I've been on both ends, and that's not right. I don't believe that. And it may hurt the parent in some way, but I don't believe it hurts the parent like it hurts the child. But we are to discipline our children. And we're not to stop disciplining because they may cry or they may act like they're going to die. Two things. First of all, the writer says he will not die. Now, other passages teach that we're not to provoke our children to wrath. They teach that we're to be merciful and we're to be gracious to our children. We're to be slow to anger, just as God is dealing with us in that way as His children. As fathers, God expects us to deal with our children in the same way. But God's Word says that a child needs to be spanked from time to time. If you were to do a study, read what child psychologists would say. What children psychologists, many would say would be, you don't want to ever lay a hand on your child. And they might talk about how that is so outdated. And if you spank your child, if you discipline your child in that way, then what you're doing is you're teaching your child violence. Well, I want to say this, and I want to say it kindly, but many of these experts, they don't have any idea what God's Word teaches. They don't care what God's Word teaches. They don't know what is right and what is wrong. And a person can study people, can study books, and unless they study this book, they don't know the correct way and what God expects us to do in disciplining our children. Dr. Spock was, Benjamin Spock, he was a well-known child psychologist, and he had promoted not spanking children. And then as he got older, after people had listened to him and a lot of damage had been done by people following his instructions, he decided toward the end of his life that he was wrong in that. If somebody says you should never spank your child, then what I would say is that is wrong. Now, I don't believe spanking is the answer to every problem. But if we take the position that we can never lay a hand on our child, then we are in direct violation of what God's Word teaches. A second thing that I want to say is this. As parents, as husbands and wives, we must get together and decide if we believe, first of all, what God's Word teaches. And once we come to that conclusion, and hopefully I believe all of us do believe God's Word, then we must accept that God's way is the best way. And surely I don't believe anybody here would disagree with that. And if you do disagree with that, please talk with me or talk with someone else here. God's way, and we must accept the fact that God's way is the best way. We're not talking about being mean to our children. We're not talking about being cruel to our children. We're not talking about being destructive to our children. Have you ever seen situations where one or both of the parents are not convicted in what they think they need to do as far as disciplining their children? And here maybe one begins to discipline, the other one no, or the other begins to discipline, the one no, and the children are confused and the parents are frustrated. The first thing that parents must do, we must be on the same page. We must be using the same book. And we have to determine, based on God's teaching, what we're going to do. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul, and we looked at this passage in our 9 o'clock class, our teaching last Sunday morning. But in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 4, Paul says, "And ye fathers," and I want to emphasize that, he's talking to those of us who are fathers. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture," or you may have a translation that says, "the training and admonition of the Lord." I have watched at times fathers, as the wife or mother is struggling with her children, trying to discipline them, and the men, the fathers, just sit there and they just kind of watch. I'm going to tell you, that angers me. That angers me. That is not right. Fathers, we are given the responsibility as the head, and we are to be the leader in our home. And I'm not saying that mothers should never discipline their children. They should. But please don't sit by and watch your wife struggle to get a child under control and not do anything. Did I make that clear? As fathers, we have the responsibility of leading the home and providing the leadership. Now, I will say this, that's not always easy. As a matter of fact, sometimes that is difficult. Now, I do want to say again, mothers are to provide discipline and guidance and instruction. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse 14, Paul gives these instructions. "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." And so, you know, I don't think that what a mother should do in every situation and say, "Well, you just wait till your daddy gets home." I never wanted to hear that out of my mother when I was a child. And I don't think as mothers we always put that on the father when it's something we can have. The time may come where a mother feels she can't handle that, and she may need to say, "When your dad gets home, he'll handle this." Those of you who have small children, and I remember a gentleman that served as an elder, He said, if you get more than two, that means you and your wife are outnumbered. And you know, that's right. Now, we have more than two. But if you're dealing with your children and you're trying to train them and discipline them, and sometimes it seems like you've got one or two going in the right way and then another one gets out, and it becomes sometimes emotionally and physically draining. I'm not suggesting that that is the easiest thing to do. But if we believe that is God's will, then that will sustain us as we train and we discipline our children. And when our children step out of line, or they misbehave, or they disobey, we don't need to laugh it off. We don't need to make fun of it. We don't need to ignore it. We need to handle it. And if we don't, really, aren't we saying we don't believe or we don't trust in God's way? Let me suggest a second thing. And that is, as we are training and disciplining our children, we do so with the understanding that we only have a short time to shape and mold, as the song we were singing, to mold the lives of our children. In Proverbs chapter 19, in verse 18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Every child has a different temperament, but there are some basic things that are to be done for all children. Now, it may take more repetition for some than others. One thing that we must do is we must teach them early. If we wait till they're 2 or 3 years old, we've waited too long. Now, if you haven't done anything, then you need to start right now. But we need to teach them early in life. I'll tell you an experience that I had when I was working at the middle school. I was an assistant principal. A mother came in with her. Well, she came in to get her child, who was a sixth grader, because he had messed up enough at school that he was being suspended. And it was toward the end of the school year. And he was suspended like 3 days, and there were a couple of days left. And the mother just asked me, she said, Mr. Sutton, can he come back those last 2 days? You know, I didn't want to say, please don't send him. What I said was, yes, ma'am, he may come back. He's not suspended during those days. Well, the little boy, and he was a little boy, sixth grade, he looked at his mother, he said, I'm not coming back. She said, well, yes, you're coming back. He said, I'm not coming back. She said, I'll bring you. He said, you can bring me and drop me off, but I'll leave. And it was all I could do to not discipline that child right then. But you know what? She had waited too late. And the sad thing is, about 5 years later, in South Huntsville, there was a killing at a Circle, I believe it was Circle K store. And guess who one of the perpetrators was? The same young boy that was standing there in front of me, telling his mother what he was and was not going to do. Now, we have to teach our children early. If our children, hopefully, our children don't have to think back, and they can't even remember when the discipline process began, because that's always been a part of life. Now, there's the flip side to that, and that is, if you teach your children early, by the time they're that age, sixth or seventh grade, you don't have to go around correcting them all the time. If they've been trained and taught early in life, the time does come when your direct influence becomes less and less and less. And we have to take advantage of that time. You know what children want? They want somebody to help them. They want somebody to set bounds for them. And they want somebody to hold them accountable. I've dealt with too many children who were just allowed to live. Those are some of the most unhappy and pathetic, pitiful children that you ever meet. Children need, they want, and God has arranged. That's the reason they are parents. And you know as well as I do, too many children grow up without parents. And that's not to say that a mother can't teach her children, or a father couldn't do it if that's necessary. But God has arranged the family unit so that the father and the mother working together can teach and train their children to grow up to be Christians. And if they're Christians and they're serving God, they will be productive members of our society. I don't ever want my children. I never did, and I don't want them to think that I just want them to be productive citizens. I want that, but I want them to be Christians. And if they're faithful Christians, they'll be productive. They'll do whatever they can do. They'll use their abilities. They'll serve others, because that's what being a Christian is. Turn to Genesis chapter 19. We talk about our direct influence wanes as time passes. In Genesis chapter 19, we're given some information about Lot's son-in-laws. We read a little bit about Lot earlier this week, but I want to read verse 14. Lot has been told to flee Sodom because it's going to be destroyed. Verse 14, the Bible says, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law." These aren't little boys. Here are his married. His girls have married them. "His sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." They didn't care what he said. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. We have two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. And we're told this, they were very wicked. Verse 23 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Eli is speaking to his sons, and he said to them, "Why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. No, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sins against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." We need to teach our children early. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him." A second thing that as parents we have to come to grips with, and that is good children sometimes do foolish things. And when children, well, let me just read again, or say again what Proverbs 22:15 says. "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him." I don't know how many times I've had parents say to me, "Well, my child's not a bad child." And usually I would say, "You're right." And I would follow up by saying, "But you know, good children sometimes do defiant things. Sometimes good children, they do things that are foolish. And we have to come to grips with that." And when our children do things that are foolish, they need to be corrected. We don't need to coax them into doing what we ask them to do. And what I mean by that is, "Well, won't you please do it?" I'm not saying, somebody said Sunday morning, two words I forgot to mention about dealing with your children: always say please and always say thank you. I don't mind telling my child, "I'd like for you to please do this," but I want them to understand when I'm saying that, I'm not begging them to do that. I'm not trying to coax them to do it. When they're given instructions, I expect them to do it. I asked my mother several years ago before she passed away. I was asking about us as children, and I thought I knew the answer. Dad ran a pretty tight ship, and you probably grew up in similar circumstances. And typically, he could do that right there, and you know, you're kind of, even if you knew you weren't doing anything, you were trying to figure out, do I need to make some adjustment? I didn't walk around biting my nails. I wasn't afraid of my dad. I wasn't afraid he was going to knock me down or anything like that. But I'll tell you what, I had a respect for him. And I knew when he said something, that's what he meant. I had a candy bar when I was a boy. I can't remember how old. I was old enough to know better. And I had it opened, and my older brother, he wanted part of it. And Dad walked in, and he heard our conversation. And so he told me, he said, Tim, you give Mike half that candy bar. And I went, you know, that seems kind of funny, and I understand. Why did I do that? I was foolish. I was defiant. Dad said, give your brother half that candy bar. And I thought, that'll take care of that. That candy bar didn't taste nearly as good as I thought it was going to taste. And he took care of that situation. It wasn't some wild display, out of control display. It was planned pain. And I got it. Good children sometimes do foolish things, and as parents, we have the responsibility of helping them and correcting them. And when our children challenge our authority, not every time, but often, it requires swift, decisive action. You know, again, as parents, we go through this kind of it's uncharted waters. But I tell you what our children need to learn. Our children need to learn that mommy and daddy expect us to do right, to obey them, because that's what God expects. And when we don't, there's problem. And we're going to take care of that problem. I want to read from Proverbs chapter 29. To me, this is so sad when I read this passage. The second half, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Our children are not designed to raise themselves. And if we fail to discipline them as we should, what this proverb says is they will bring shame to the mother, and I believe to the father as well. And I could stand here, I'm not going to call any names, but somebody that I know very well, whom I love, their child was arrested Saturday for DUI. And I know enough about the situation to know that when he was young, everything seemed kind of cute. And when he misbehaved, he was either tired, he was either hungry, he was either sleepy, or he didn't feel well. And I tell my children, and I've told them, you have the right to be tired, you have the right to be sick, you have the right to not feel well. But none of that gives you the right to misbehave. And if we don't teach our children that, then they'll bring shame to us. Let's look at a third thing. We discipline our children to gain their respect and to help them understand. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 6, The Hebrew writer says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Why does the Lord chasten us? He wants to help us. He's trying to help us to understand, here is the direction in which you need to go. And if you read some more in that chapter, what it talks about is the fact that we pay our earthly fathers respect. Again, I respected my mother and my father. From the time I was, I guess, 14 in eighth grade, I was about as tall, not as big, but about as tall as I am now. My father, he might be 5'10", and he weighs maybe 170. And my mother was a lot shorter than that. My point is this, that made no difference. That didn't make any difference. I knew my mother and dad loved God, and they knew that He knew what was best for us and how we should be reared. And because of that, I respected them. Let me tell you, parents, when you need and you have to discipline your children, as far as the spanking is concerned, you let them know this is what God expects. You talk about a teachable moment. We love God. We believe in God. We trust God. And here's what God says needs to happen to help you. And then we administer the discipline that is needed. I don't know how many times that I would discipline my children and they might say something and I would just tell them, listen, if I didn't do this, God would hold me accountable. This is what God expects of us. And if they know we love God, you know what that's going to help them to develop? It's going to help them to learn to love and respect God. Now, idle threats. I don't know where this, I'm going to count to three, and if you don't, came from. But as I've looked in God's Word, I just don't see that there. And I'm not saying that we might one time tell our child something and they may not hear us. I'm not saying that we should never ever repeat something. But you know, that ought to be the exception rather than the rule. If we give instructions and our children hear those instructions, then they need to understand they are expected to respond. This is the only way we can understand some things. What I mean by that is this. Some things are learned intellectually. Other things are learned through experience. And you can talk about spankings and the benefit of spankings all day, but there is nothing like experiencing that. And you know, spanking that is our discipline, if it's a spanking carried on properly within the home, it has rippling effects. I have an older brother, and he would try something and it'd mess up, and Dad would get him, and I thought, ooh, I don't want to try that. And that if discipline is carried out properly, and I'm not saying you have to make a display of it, but you know what? When I was a principal, and back then you could, no longer in Huntsville City, can you? But you could paddle a child, and I did that as a last resort. And I generally would talk to parents and say, any help you can, you come take care of it. But you could paddle a child, and I would dare say within 2 or 3 minutes. And that child and me and another adult would be in that office within 2 or 3 minutes. Nearly everybody in that building knew what had happened. And I guarantee you, when a spanking took place when I was a child, and when my children were at home, whoever else was at home, they were aware of it. I have up here, make it an event. Now let me try to explain what I mean by that. Let's just talk about church services. And I don't want to be critical. I don't want to be too critical. But I do want to say this. If your child's misbehaving and you're carrying them out to discipline and they come back in and they're all smiles like they've been to the circus, something's not right. Have you ever seen that? I mean, a child's misbehaving, they go out and you think, oh boy, this is what that child needs. And they come back in and they just like that. They just want everybody to see how. One of our children, about 6 years of age, I was sitting in the audience and listening to someone preaching. And she was sitting by a friend and her mother had to move her. And when her mother told her to get up and took her by the arm, she kind of did this way with her arm. Well, I just reached and I got her arm. I stood up and started to step out and I was getting some resistance. But I had to wait over. We just kept going. We walked out. We walked down the building to the very back where classrooms were. And I set her up on the table because I'd already learned how I needed to get her to, without her doing all this. And I asked her, I said, do you know why we're back here? I said, why? Because I was ugly to mom. I said, we're not going back that way. And I put mine, and all my children are girls. And I'm very conscious of the fact that I'm a larger than average man, and my goal was not to leave any permanent damage. But I put my arm around her, and I popped her on her leg several times. And as soon as I finished, she said, that hurt. And I said, that's exactly what I intended. And if you act this way again, we will do this again. Now, I'm not saying make a show of things. That's not what I mean. But if a child is going to be disciplined, if they don't know they've been disciplined after we've disciplined them, then we've just wasted our time. And we have wasted their time as well. The last thing I want to say is this. We discipline our children because we really love them. And what that says is, we need to look and think. We need, first of all, be able to think if we're going to discipline. If we're upset, and we're thinking, I'm going to kill you, I would say we just need to back off, wouldn't you? I know we wouldn't ever do it, but you know, sometimes you just get so carried away and you just stop. You may need to send them off somewhere and you may need to collect yourself. Why are we disciplining our children? We love them. And we want their soul to be saved. Now, my friend, if you know of some reason to discipline our children other than that, I'd be happy for you to share. But ultimately, we're trying to save their soul. We're trying to help them live in a way that will be pleasing to God. Again, that passage, we looked at that passage just a minute ago. The Lord chastens whom He loves, and as parents, we chasten our children because we love them. Let me say this. We must make sure that we compliment and we encourage our children constantly. They need to know, and let me just say this to those of us who are Christians. Do you know that God is on our side? He is on our side. He wants what is best for us. He instructs us in the ways that He knows is best for us. He's not our enemy. And we want our children to understand that too. We are on their side. We love them. And the correction that we're giving because we know it will help them. But we must compliment and encourage our children constantly. If all we're ever doing is chastising and spanking our children, that's not going to work. You just think of it. Suppose that's all God did for us or with us. That'd get pretty discouraging quickly. And so we want to encourage and to compliment our children. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." It's not a power struggle. And I realize at some point as our children grow up, they may think that's what it is. That's not what it is. It's not a power struggle. Matter of fact, I heard someone say this in some meeting that I was in with administrators. Do you think in a school teachers know who's in charge? I'm not saying they like it. I'm not saying they necessarily want to submit, but they know who's in charge. It's not a question of being in a power struggle. And at home, it's not a question. Do you think our children realize who is in charge? And I don't mean that I've got the power. We have to teach our children. And when I inherited, and I'm so thankful, my fifth daughter, that was one of the things we had to come to terms with. It's who's in charge here. Now, I don't mean that. That's just a fact. And we don't want it to become a power struggle. True love will do whatever's necessary to save the child. I should have underlined whatever is necessary. Because that's what true love will do. In Proverbs chapter 23, in verse 14, the Bible says, "Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." There is our purpose. Whatever it takes, we're going to do because we value the soul of our children above everything else. I might should have, and I thought about putting this at the very beginning of the lesson, but I put it at the end. I want to read Hebrews 12, verse 11. And here is something as parents we have to come to grips with. The Hebrew writer says this, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." There's nothing fun or happy about disciplining our children. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Don't you want your children to be successful? I'm talking about spiritually. If my children are successful spiritually, all of this other will take care of itself. Why do we discipline our children? It's commanded by God. We only have a short time to shape our children. We must gain their respect and help them to understand because you really love your children. Two passages I want to leave with. Chapter 13, verse 24, Proverbs says, "He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." Don't fool yourself into thinking, "I just can't discipline my children because I love them too much." If you don't discipline your children diligently, then you hate your child. Proverbs 29, verse 17 says, "Correct, that should be thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. I know that you want just as much as I want for your children to be Christians, to be faithful to God, and to one day die in the Lord so that they can be with the Lord forever. They're depending on us. God has placed that responsibility upon us. And we need to take that seriously and discipline our children so they can bring us joy later on in life. We're going to sing the song that is posted on the wall. This lesson, like some other lessons, have not been designed really to teach somebody what they need to do to become a child of God. But you know, if you're a parent and you're not a Christian, then you can't really carry out God's will and do what He says without your children looking at you and saying, "Well, Mom or Dad, why are you not following God's will?" You know, the thing about that is such an easy fix. And what I mean by that is this. Once we make up our minds that we're going to serve God and we're going to be committed to Him, then it just takes a step, only a step. And then with the help of God and with the help of other Christians, you can serve God and in turn serve your children. Those of you who are young, don't despise your parents' chastening. It's amazing when I look back, and there were times I didn't express it, and I'm glad I didn't. I didn't for a couple of reasons. One reason was I didn't think Dad would appreciate it. And what I mean by that is I knew he wouldn't appreciate it. But the second thing was, I had enough respect for him and for my mother to know, and I can look back and see, they never asked me to do something they thought was bad for me or that was going to lead me the wrong way. I don't know any parents that are trying to serve God who would give instructions to their children that they thought was the wrong thing. Appreciate your parents, if they're trying to teach you what is right and they're trying to hold you accountable. That is something we have to learn, because you know what God is going to do? He's going to hold every one of us accountable. Do you need to render obedience to the Lord? Tonight would be the best night for you to do that. Let's stand and sing for our encouragement.